Today's daf is Menachis daf Chof Dalet.
And we are two lines from the bottom of daf Chof Gimel Amid Bey. So if the last two dafin were where Menachis meets Taruvos, today's daf is where Menachis meets Tuma V'Tahira. Says the Gemara, Ki Solik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, we'll see hashtag rest of the story. At the end of the daf, Ashkechinu lived near Rav Chiyo. So Rav Kahana meets the sons of Rav Chiyo. Rav Chiyo lived in Eretz Yisrael, his sons lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Kahana met them, and he saw the Yasvi V'Ka'amri. They were learning Mesechtes Menachis. And they were learning the following halacha, Isorin Shecholku, if the Isorin, that's the sheer of a carbon mincha, was divided into two parts, v'inichu bebisa, and it was put into the keli where they used to mix the carbon mincha, but the two parts of the mincha, this is important, were not touching each other. The nagat tful yom v'echav yom, and then at tful yom, somebody that was tummy went to the mikvah, but he has to wait until the sun sets, brachas daf beis, before he's able to eat shruma, before he's able to eat kachim. During that interim period, between the tefillah and Harav Shemesh, when the sun sets, he's tamei, but he's not as tamei. He has a limited level of tumah. He's at full yom. At full yom went, and he touched one of the two halves of the karban mincha. The question was, mahu? Does the other part of the mincha become tamei as well, or does it not? Meaning, that's pashit, that the half of mincha that the tful yom touched is going to be tamei. The tful yom touched it, it's tamei. The question is, what about the other half? Now, Rashi says that the reason the Bnei Reb Chiya were discussing the shayla with a tful yom, not with an ordinary tamei, is because an ordinary tamei, this wouldn't have been a shayla. Because the tamei would be metame the half of mincha, which would be metame the keli that the half of mincha's in, which would then be metame the other half of mincha. But being that a tful yom's toma is limited, we don't have to go into the protein, but being that his capability to be metame is limited, that chain reaction wouldn't go into effect. So the only way that the other half of the mincha would become tame is if you say that being the two halves of the mincha are in the same keli, so the keli is mitzarif them, so that if the tful yom touches half, the other half becomes tame as well. That was the shayla. And the truth is, it's a Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Ki tnan, kli mitzarif masha b'toich l'kodesh, hani mi heichid nagi ba'adadi, abel heichid nagi ba'adadi loy, oidoma, loy shna. It's a Mishnah that says that a tummy that touches a chelik of something that's in a keli, everything that's in the keli becomes tameh. But the Bnei Reb Chiya weren't sure if that's only true if everything in the keli is touching each other. But in a case where the things are not touching each other, no. Or maybe not, Amalahu. So they asked the Shaila to Rav Kahana, and he told them, Mi Tanan Kli Mechaber, Kli Mitzarev Tanan. That Mishnah that says that a Tameh that touches something in a Keli, everything that's in the Keli is Tameh, the Lashon HaMishnah is Kli Mitzarev. And you have to be Medayik Lashon HaYazov Shalom HaMishnah, said Rav Kahana. It doesn't say Kli Mechaber, it says Kli Mitzarev. Kli Mechaber would mean that the only time this halach is true is if they're touching. Kli Mitzarev, again, grammar, but that suggests that they don't necessarily have to be touching. In other words, the Bnei Reb Chiya weren't sure what the halach is. Rav Kahana told them what the halach is, that if a tful yom would touch part of a mincha, the other half of the mincha, even if it's not touching, would be tummy as well. Then they asked him another shayla. They asked him, Hoishit echad libeinehem ma'u. What would be if somebody would stick a third part of a mincha into this klisharis? So you have a mincha, it's divided into two, it's in the klisharis where they're going to mix the mincha together with the oil, and now somebody sticks more soilus into this keli. Now that extra soilus is not part of the mincha, because you already had the shear of the mincha in the original keli. And then that extra, let's call it the third half, so to speak, became tamei. The question is, do you say the same halacha that kli mitzarif masha v'toicha l'kodesh, that it's metame everything, even what's not touching, or no? On Malays, Rav Kahana said, here it's going to be different, because tzorech l'kli, kli mitzarif, ain't tzorech l'kli, ain't kli mitzarif. The only time there's halacha that keli is mitzarif, that's what's tzorech l'kli. So the two halves of the mincha have a din to be in this kli. They're not just punked in the keli together. They have a din to be here. They're part of the same mincha. They're here so you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Belila and the mitzvah of Yitzika, and then take this klisharis and do your kmitza and go be mekayim the din of the mincha. Being that they're there for a purpose, it's over there the halach is that the keli has an ability to be mitzarif even though they're not touching. But if you stick a random thing into the keli, like a third half of a mincha that has no part of this mincha, over there this halach is not going to be true. They asked Rav Kahana a third question. What would be if a tful yom would stick his hand into the ear space of this keli? So the same case. You have a a Kli Shoris that has two halves of a mincha in, and the Tfoyoim stuck in, he didn't touch any of the halves, but he put his hand in between the two halves. The question is he metama or is he not metama? Now, if you want to think of this Shailon from a Lumdis perspective, once you say that the Kli is Mitzarif Masha V'Zoich HaLakaydash, so really the two pieces are touching each other. So if you stuck your hand in between the two pieces, maybe it's as if you're touching the actual mincha, right? Because being that we look at these two halves of a mincha as if they're touching each other, kli mitzaref masha betoichel lekodesh, so maybe it's as if he touched, but the point is, that was the question, that Tfulyon stuck his hand into the airspace of the mincha, is it metamon or not? Amaluhus, Rav Kahana knew the answer to that as well. He told him, ein lecha davash metami ma'avir, ele kli cheres bovada. Kli cheres has a chiddish that it's metama ba'aver, so if a sheretz falls into the airspace of a kli cheres, it's metama kol masha v'soichai, or if you have a kli cheres that's tameh, and something falls into the ear space of the Kli Cheres, that thing becomes Tamei as well. But the Chiddush of Kol Masha B'Soicha Yitmo was stated Dafka with regards to the Tum of a Kli Cheres. Here we're dealing with the Kli Sharis that was used in the Beis HaMikdash for the Mincha. It wasn't a Kli Cheres. Thus, you're not going to have this Chiddush of something being Tamei from the Aver of the Kli Cheres. Says the Gemara. So after the Bnei Rav Chiya asked Rav Kahana three Shailas, and Rav Kahana knew the answer to all three Shailas, we're going to see again at the end of the Daf, hashtag rest of the story, that Rav Kahana came up to Eretz Yisrael. He came with a big tumult. Rish Lakish famously said about Rav Kahana, "Ari Ola Mibavel." Said of Bnei Rav Chiya, the firing questions at Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana showing a tremendous charifus. He was able to answer all the shailas. But then Rav Kahana flipped it. He said, "You know, let me ask you a shaila." Says the Gemara, "Hada iu ba yamin hayu." So Rav Kahana asked Bnei Rav Chiya a question, and the question was, "Ma'u likmoitz mizeh alzeh? Could you do kmitza on a mincha that's divided in two halves?" Meaning that was the theme of the question. You have a mincha that's divided into two halves, a chatzi chesaron and a chatzi yisaron. And Rav Kahana said, "I have a question too. If the two halves of the mincha were separated, they're not physically touching each other, but there's enough of a shear to do kmitza from one half. Is that okay? Is it not okay?" What's the question? The halach is kli mitzaref masha b'soich lekodesh. That's what we just said with regards to tumah. So do I look at the two halves if they're connected to each other, as long as they're in the same keli? So as a result, I could do kmitza from half. It's only half. No, the kli is mitzaref or not. And the essence of that shaila was siruf dairaisa derabanan. This idea that a kli is mitzarev, it's true on a dairaisa level. If that's the case, it works even lekula. Or maybe it's only a chumra derabanan with regards to tuma. You have all these chumras. The end of Masechtas Chagiga discusses this at length. Right, this chumras with regards to tuma v'tahira in the context of kachin. So maybe this Chiddush of Kli Mitzarev Masha B'Toich L'Kodesh is not the Ikar Adin, it's not Shwana Dairaisa level, it's only a Chumar B'Rabbanon. If that's the case, maybe it's not going to work L'Kula with regards to Kmitza. Amrulay, they told him, Zulay Shamanu, I can't tell you that I have a Braisa or a Mishnah to tell you exactly, I know the answer to your question. However, we learned that our Mishnah, two Menachas, both of which didn't have Kmitza done. So you have two complete Menachas, and this Arbezubazu, they were mixed up. Meaning, if they were completely Nesarev, then you can't do Kmitza. You're out. There's nothing to do with this. If only part of it was Nesarev, but the part that wasn't Nesarev is enough that you could do Kmitza, then the Halach is Ksheres. And if not, Psulis, talk to Gemara. So the Bnei Rav Chiya said, you see from here that as long as you can do Kmitza, it's going to be okay. Doesn't it sound like you have three separate parts of these two menachas, right? The way we explained it yesterday, maybe it was after the shir, is that you have two menachas, mincha A, mincha B. And half of mincha A and half of mincha B went into kli shoreis C. So the first kli shoreis has half of mincha A, the second kli shoreis has half of mincha B, and the third kli shoreis is made up of a taruvais of the other half of mincha A and the other half of mincha B. But poshit, the way you visualize the case, it sounds like mincha A is not together in the same kli shoreis, and mincha B is not all together in the same kli shoreis. So what's the Mishnah saying? You could do kmitza. Yesterday the Gemara got involved in the lumbis of mimba minay batal and the machlekes Rav Chizden, Rav Chanina, a very super lumbish Gemara. Let the shirayim be mevatal the other mincha, make it a mincha chasera, super gishmak. But said the Bnei Rav Chiya, if there's a havamina, that the only time you could do kmitza is if the entire mincha is touching each other, then this case is dead on arrival. How in the world could you even do kmitza in such a case? Elamai, you see from me, you don't need the entire mincha to be touching each other. But Amar Rava, Rava said, I don't think it's a raya. Dilma begushin hamechulakin, hasuyin kimisarek. Maybe it's talking about a case where Mincha A and Mincha B were touching each other, but they were only touching each other at one side. So the side that they were touching each other was Nesareh. But there was another side of Mincha A and Mincha B that were not touching each other. And if what the Mishnah is saying is that if you could do Kmitza from the side that's not touching the other mincha, the side that's not nesarev, it's okay. But the point is, you have a case where mincha A and mincha B are touching each other, and they're also not touching each other. Ashenogeil in Yonenu is that the entire mincha A is by itself, and the entire mincha B is by itself. But enechinami, it could be if mincha A or mincha B wouldn't be by itself, there'd be no way in the world to do this. My habiyah, what's the bottom line? Could you do kmitzah from a mincha that's not all one? Amar Rava Toshma, the Tanya Beherim Mimenu, it says, with regards to the halachas of kmitzah, the Beherim Mimenu Bekumtza, from the word Mimenu, we learn, Mena Mechobar Shvayavi Isarein Bishnei Kelim Ve'yikmaitz. We learn from there that you can't have the mincha in two separate kelim and do kmitza that way, says the Gemara. It sounds like, at the end of the day, it's only in two kelim, meaning true. Two kelim doesn't work. So that picture of the Mishnah and Afchav Gimel Amid Aleph, you have to delete from your mind. That doesn't work. You can't do kmitza if the mincha is in two kelim. That's for sure a mefurish b'raisa. But at the same time, the Gemara says, I think you see from this b'raisa that the two menachas don't have to be touching each other. Why? Because it sounds like the issue is if they're in separate kelim. What if they're in one keli, dumya dishne kelim? So they're really in one keli, they're not touching each other. It sounds like from there it would be okay. So at the very least, let's be poishra of kahana shayla, that you see that the kli is mitzaref, meaning that kli mitzaref is a dinda iraisa, it's not a dinda rabbanon. It doesn't only work l'chumra with regards to tumah. It's true even with regards to kaimetz. Meaning it's only if the mincha's in two kelim that you can't do the kmitza, but if it's in one keli, it does work. Amalei Abaye, but Abaye said, I don't think you have a raya from here. Dumya dishne kelim, maybe the case with Bryce is telling me that if it's in two kalim it doesn't work, is talking about it was in two kalim, but the two menachas were actually touching each other. How's that possible? We're going kafiza bekava. So you had two measuring kalim. One was bigger than the other, and the smaller one was inside the big one. So what happens is on the top of the smaller one, what's in the smaller one is going to be touching what's in the outer one. So think of an outer keli and an inner keli. The outer one is bigger, the inner keli is small. The outer keli, Rashi says, held a kav, the inner one held 3/4 of a kav. So the inner one is inside the smaller one. It's a mechitza, it's two separate kelim, because part of the mincha is in the outer one, part of the mincha is in the middle one. But at the same time, being that the inner one is smaller, so the two menachas touch each other from on top. The point is, they were really touching each other in this case. And Enechinami, if you want to make a diik, that if it's one keli, it's going to be one keli where it's touching each other, says the Gemara. A trough that was used to feed Tarnagailam, where there would be water on one side and they would put the mursin, that was the food that the Tarnagal used to eat, on the other side. It would have a very low mechitza, and as a result, the water and the mursin touched each other. Even though there's a mechitza in between, being that it's touching, that's why you would be able to do the kmitza. In other words, the Gemara thought that if there's a brisa that says that the mincha is in two kelim, you can't do the kmitza, vice the two things don't have to be touching. Because if the mincha all has to be touching, it has to be one solid mincha in order to do kmitza, then what's the hava mean if it's in two kelim, it's going to be okay? Of course it's not okay in two kelim. In two kelim, by definition, it's not touching. Elamai, it's only two kelim where it's not good. But if it'd be keli echadumi the two kelim, it'd be in one kelim and not touching, it would be. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara is saying that when we say avada, maybe the mincha has to be touching. And if the mincha is not touching, there's nothing to talk about, you can't do the kmitza. Why do I need a brisa to tell me two kelim? Because it's a hechatimso where it's two kelim and it's touching. What's the hechatim? So with the bigger measuring cup, the smaller measuring cup, whatever the case is. And enechinami, the diik is where if it's in one keli, dumya the two kelim, where it's touching, it's okay. And what's the case? The Gemara figured out what that case is also. But enechinami, it could be, it has to touch. Or maybe not. That was Rav Kahana Shaila. He asked the Bnei Rav Chiya. So Rav Kahana knew the answer to the three questions that the Bnei Rav Chiya asked him, but the Bnei Rav Chiya didn't know the answer to Rav Kahana's question. They thought it was a Mishnah, then they thought it was a Braisa, Rav and Abaya discussed it, but at the end of the day, we're left with that Shaila. Another Shaila, boy, Rav Yirmiyos. Rav Yirmiyos is famous in Shas for asking Shailas. So in a daf like this, you would expect to have any boy for Rav Yirmiyos, Tziruf Kli, V'chibur Mayim Ma'u. What happens? Again, you have a mincha, it was divided into two parts. So you have mincha A and mincha B. And they're in the same kli sharis. So we said the halacha is kli mitzaref masha b'toich l'kodesh. It was the first halacha of the daf, which means that if a tful yoyim would touch one half of the mincha, The other half of the mincha would be tami as well. The question is, what if one of the two halves, let's call it mincha B, was connected to more flour, another chatzi isorin, a third half, that was outside of the kli sharis? It was connected to it because there was water somehow that was touching mincha B and mincha C. Being that they were both touching the same body of water, that was mechaber. The Rashi has two examples of what the case was, but let's just keep it simple. Something along those lines. And now, a tful yoim went, and he touched one of the halves of the mincha that are inside, he touched mincha A. So mincha A is attached to mincha B, kli mitzaref masha b'soicha l'kodesh, and mincha B is attached to mincha C, because of this chibur through the mayim. Do you say that or not? Tzir of kli, the chibur, mayim ma'u. So yeah, mincha mincha bi, they're mitzorif through the kli. And mincha bi is mukhobet to the mayim. Ki tanan, do you see kli mitzarif, masha patech, l'kodesh, hanim ilu degaboy? That's only for things that are inside the keli, abda roiloi. You can use kli mitzarif, masha patech, to then have mincha bi, be mukhobet to mincha si. Or not? I don't keep in the mechobe mechobe. So let me keep in the mechobe mechobe. If you get a tummy, then no, there's no reason. Everything is going to be tummy in this case. What would be in the reverse? Chibur mayim v'tziruf kli v'nogat fuyoyim yibachutz mao. What would be the same exact case? Mincha A and mincha B are both together in the keli, so the kli is mitzaref masha b'soichoy. Mincha B is attached to mincha C, which is outside the keli. Now, in the first case, mincha A became tummy. In the second case, mincha C becomes tummy. A tfuyoyim touches mincha C. So do you say, you touch mincha C. Mincha C and mincha B are attached through the chibur of mayim. B and A are attached because kli mitzarif masha b'soicha. You're going to have the same salacha or no? What's the shay? Levim tim tzulei mekiv na mechobim mechobar. Chibur mayim b'tziruf kli v'nagal tfuyoyim b'chutz ma. Ki tan kli mitzarif hanim b'nagal b'agvoy. Maybe the only time kli mitzarif masha b'soicha l'kodesh works is where at the very least the tumah happened inside the keli. Avim b'varoy. But if the tumah happened outside the keli, loy, oydom aloy. Or maybe there's no difference. Says the Gemara, take more Gemara. By Rava, Yisarin shechilku v'nitma echad mehem a geshmak yeshayla. So it's the same principles as the previous staff, but a little bit of a lumdisha twist. What would be if you had Nisarin, meaning the mincha was divided into two, and one half of them became tummy. Became tummy. How? I don't know. Tumas, anything. It's tummy now. V'hinichay v'bisa. And now the two halves of the mincha were put into the same kli sharis. So this mincha is really dead on arrival because half of the mincha was tummy even before it arrived, before it landed inside the kli sharis. V'chazat tful yoyim v'nagaba isa tummy. Now a tful yoyim went and he touched half. Which half? The half that had already been tummy. Mahu. What's the halacha? Do we say the other half becomes tummy or the other half does not become tummy? Again. The first shayla in today's daf, the question that Meir Abchiya asked Rav Kahana when Ari was Olam Mibavel, was they wanted to know if you have a mincha which was divided into two halves, it's in a keli, a tful yoyim touched one half. Do you say kli mitzarif masha b'toicha l'kodesh even when the two things aren't touching, or maybe only when they're touching? That was essentially their shayla. Rav Kahana said it says kli mitzarif, not kli mechaber, which means they don't have to be touching. Over here, what happened was there were two halves of a mincha, same case, they're both in the kli sharis, the tful yoyim touched one of them, we want to know if the other one's tummy. It's the same setup. The only difference is that the half of the mincha that the tful yoyim touched had been tummy in this case before the tful yoyim touched them. So what's the shayla? The shayla is once it's tummy, it can't become tummy again. So the tful yoyim, when he touched it, wasn't metamit. If he wasn't metamit, you don't have the halach of kli mitzarif, masha b'soicha l'kodesh. Or maybe no, enochinami was tummy. But being that there's a chiddush in the tumah that would be chal if we say that the tful yoyim could be metamit again, because now that tful yoyim has been metamit inside the kli sharis, you have the halach of kli mitzarif, masha b'soicha l'kodesh, which you didn't have till now. Because until now, that half had become tummy before it was in the kli sharis. So do you say that the tful yoyim has an ability to be metame l'may nafgemino so that the other half should be tame? Or no? How can you be metame something that's already tame? That's the question. Mi amrin, do we say, sovele tumah, it's tame. It's already satisfied. It's shein zat fin tumah. It has tumah already. Once it has tumah, it can't become tame again. I lie. Or maybe no. Or maybe enochinami, it's sovele tumah to a degree, it's already tame. But at the same time, maybe it has the ability to become tame again. So that you should have the halacha of kli mitzarif, masha b'soicha l'kodesh. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rava. He said, "Umi amina and savalei tuma, Rava. You have a hamamina to say savalei tuma. There's no such thing as savalei tuma. I'll prove to you from a mishnah that it's possible for something that's already tamei to become tamei again. Where's this mishnah? Doesn't sound familiar? It's in the 27th parak of Masechtas Kelim.
Says the Mishnah, Sadin Tome Yehera, Sadin Ashit, that was Tome Medris.
So we know that Azav, Anida, Azava, any person that becomes Tome because of a Dabra Yetzami Gufa or Gufa has a very special place in the halachas of Tome Vatayra. He or she is Metame Tomas Medris. That means if she sits on something, lies on something, rides on something, it gets a special Tome, Tomas Medris. Tomas Medris is another Tome, so it's Metame, it's as special rules in Tumah. So what happened over here was, it was a Sadin that was Tomei Tumas Medrash. Let's say a Zav lied on this sheet. As a result, it was Tomei Tumas Medrash. Vasoy Viloy, says the Mishnah Chiddush. What happens if the owner of this Sadin decides, I don't want to use this as a sheet anymore. I'm done using it as a sheet. I want to use it now as a curtain. So it turned it into a vilin. The halach is tar min ha-medras. It automatically loses its tumas medras. The only time the sadin maintains its tumas medras is as long as it's used as something that people would be madres on, so to speak. But once you're switching its tashmish, you're switching its usage from a sadin to now a vilin, being that there's no tumas medras on a vilin, even though it previously had Tomas Medras, it's going to lose its Tomas Medras. Avol Tomei Maga Medras. But at the same time, it's still going to be Tomei. It's going to be Tomas Maga. So it's not going to have Tomas. That special Tomas Medras is not going to have, because it's not being used anymore for something that is Medras. But at the same time, Tomas Maga, of course it's going to be Tomas Maga. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Be'ezen Medras Nogazeh. What's the Tomas Maga? I don't think it's going to be Tomas Maga. Elo, She'im Noga Boy Hazov Tomei Maga Zov. The only way it would be Tomas Maga, the only way it'd be Tomas Maga is if Azov physically touched it. No, it's Machlekes Rav Yosi and Tanakama is. Tanakama holds, if something is Tomei Tomas Medras, it's automatically Tomei Tomas Maga as well. By definition, if it's Medras, it's also Maga. Rav Yosi said it's not necessarily true, physically. And the only time in this case, this Viloin now, which was previously a Sadin, would be Tomei Tomas Maga, is if Azov touched it. So it had to have been first Medras, that didn't give it Tomas Maga. Only afterwards, if the Zav also touched it, then in addition to the Tomas Medras, it would also be Tanakama holds no. When it became Medras, it also became Maga. But Rabbi Yosi is not that way. So Rabbi Yosi says when it was Medras, it was Medras. It wasn't Tomas Maga. Now it doesn't have Tomas Medras anymore. You want to know if it's also Tomas Maga? It would have to have been touched in the Maga way in order for it to be Tomas Maga. That's as much of this mission as we need for today's daf. Says the Gemara. Sabaya Tainit Kinoga Beazav Mia Tomei Vafil. Doesn't it sound like from Abaya? What's Abaya say? That if the Zav made a Tomei Tomas Medras, and then afterwards he touched it and it became Tomas Maga, then you're going to have Tomas Maga. If he didn't touch it afterwards, it's not going to be Tomas Maga. The question is, once it's Tomei Tomas Medras, has it become Tomas Maga? Once it's Medras, it can't become Maga anymore. So you see clearly that something that's Medras could be Maga. He told me, maybe what Yosi meant was, if first the Zav touched it in a Tomas Maga way, and then afterwards he lied on it in the Tomas Medras way, that's where it would be Negea later if it loses its Medras, it's still going to have that. And the reason that works is because David Tuma Chamura, Tuma Kala. Aval Hocha, but in our case, the Idi Tuma Kala, we're not discussing a Tuma Chamura and a Tuma Kala. We're discussing an ordinary Tuma where, let's see, a full Yom touched it out of the Klicharis, and now he touched it again inside the Klicharis. It's the same exact Tuma Loi. Then where says, let me say, maybe the rise from the Seif. If you have two sheets that are folded, they're one on top of the other. And the Zav sat on all these sheets. The top one is Tuma Tuma. Medras. This bottom one is Tomei Medras and Maga Medras. So you see from here that it's Chal Tomas Medras and Maga Medras at the same time. If it's Chal Tomas Medras, how could it also be Chal Tomas Maga Medras? But again, the Gemara says that's not a Tushtel Hasam, the Vas Achas. Over there, the two things are being Chal at the same time. When the Zav sits on the upper one, everything on bottom becomes Medras and Maga Medras. We're discussing a different case. We're discussing where it was Tomei already. It was already Savalei Tomei. You want to know if the Tomei could be Chalal Gabei Tomei. That's the question. Either way, says the Gemara, you have no Raya from here. One final Gemara. Amar Rava, Isarin Shechilku. What happens if a Kohen had a Mincha? The Isarin, that's the full Shirin, was divided into two. One half was lost. The Hifrish Achatavchtav. So now the Kohen went and he was Machfrish a third half. And the reason it was mafresh the third half is he needed for the second half, because the second half was lost. And then the one that was lost was found. And now you have all three, and they're all sitting in the bisa. What do you do now? Nitma avod. If the one that was avod, the one that had been previous lost, became tame, and they're all in the klisharis,
As we saw in Amud Aleph, Kli Mitzarif Masha Betoicha. So then the halacha is Avud Verishoin Mitzarif. So if the Avud became Tame, it's going to be Tame, and Kli Mitzarif Masha Betoicha LeKodesh is going to say that the original one, again, the Rishoin, is going to be the one that never got lost. The Avud is the one that got lost and has since been found. The Mufrish is the replacement. That's the third one that they brought in when one of them got lost. So you have the Rishon, the Avud, and the Mufrish. All three halves get a name. The Rishon is the original one, that he's been there from the beginning till the end. You have the Avud, that's the one that got lost. The Mufrish was the replacement. So if the Avud, the one that got lost, became Tamei, Avud, Rishon, it's Darfen. It's going to be Tamei, and the Rishon is going to be Tamei as well. Kli Mitzarif, Masha B'Soichi is going to say those two are Tamei. Mufrish, a Mitzarif. But the Mufrish, nah. Nitma Mufrish. If the Mufrish is the one that became Tameh, Mufrish for Rishon Mitzdarfin, the Mufrish and the Rishon are going to be Mitzdarf, Ovid ain't Mitzdarfin, but the Ovid's not going to be Mitzdarf. The reason is because there's a relationship between the Rishon and the Ovid, and the Rishon and the Mufrish. Either ones technically were could have, would have, should have been together. Originally, it was the Rishon and the Ovid, then it became the Rishon and the Mufrish, but the bottom line is there's an energy connecting those two, and therefore, you have the halach of Kli Mitzarif, Masha B'Soichai. The other one is the Tzigah Kimena. As it relates to the Oven and the Mufrish, they were never supposed to be at the same time. The Mufrish is here to replace the Oven, but there's no connection between the Oven and the Mufrish. It's for that reason that Oven, that those two won't connect. But if the Avud becomes Tameh, or the Mufrish becomes Tameh, it's going to be Mitama, the Rishon, as well. What if the Rishon became Tameh? Nitma Rishon, Shnei Mitzarif. And then they're both going to be Tameh, because the Rishon is connected in this halach of Kli Mitzarif, both to the Avud and to the Mufrish. Abaye, Abaye says, no. I feel a Nitma, Echameyem, Nami, Shnei Mitzarif. Doesn't matter which one becomes Tameh. Whether the Rishon becomes Tameh, the Avud becomes Tameh, or the Mufrish becomes Tameh. In all three cases, all three halves are going to be Tameh. My time, Kulu b'nei biksa dadadininu. Literally, they all live in the same mincha over here. But the point is, being that they're all part of the same mincha, it's not like in the case that we had in Amud Aleph, where you stuck in a third chatzi yisarim for no reason. Where Rav Kahana, that was the second question they asked Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said that whatever belongs in the keli is mitzarif. Whatever doesn't belong in the keli is not mitzarif. Over here, they all belong in the keli, says Abaya. It's true. You were never supposed to have all three at the same time. But at the end of the day, all three halves have a din to be in this keli. Thus, the halacha of Kli Mitzarif would apply to all three. Another halacha, v'chein linyan kmitza. Same is true. Same exact methodology regarding kmitza. Kametz mina avod. If the kohen did kmitza from the avod. So again, you have the rishon, the oven, and the mufrish. They're all in the same mincha. Now, nothing got lost. And the keli is going. Well, something did get lost, but everything is found now. Now, nothing became tameh, I should say. And now the kohen's going, and he wants to do the kmitza. So he's going to do kmitza from one chelik of it. Kametz min ha'avod. If the kohen did kmitza from the avod, so the halach is shiara, the shirayim of the avod, the rishon, and the shirayim of the rishon on echalim. We know kmitza and akhtar is matter the mincha l'achila. So if you did kmitza from the avod, and then you were makter it, so now the shirayim of the avod and the shirayim of the rishon you could eat, but mufrish ain't in echal. Because the kmitza of the avod is not matter the mufrish, because there's no connection. There's nothing binding the avod and the mufrish. Kovetz min ha-mufrish, shiar v'rishon echal. Again, the mufrish and the rishon are connected, avod ain't in echal. Kovetz min rishon, if you did kmitza from the rishon, shneim ain't in echal. Interesting. Over here, they both cannot be eaten. Why could they both not be eaten? Because we don't know if the rishon is connected to the avod or if it's connected to the mufrish. As a result, l'chumra, nothing could be eaten. Abaya, Abaya says, I feel the comments, me'echam, me'em, shnei, me'en, ne'chom. No, we never know what's connected to what. And as a result, you can never eat anything. My time of kulu nami b'nei biksa da'adadin, you know, because they're all part of the same mincha. And being that you can't be matter, all of them, you can't be matter any of them. It's the same achloik as Rav and Abaya. Maskel Rapapa. Rapapa said, it sounds like even according to Abaya, the shirayim didei me'on ne'chom. Abaya said that if you do kmitza from one, you can't eat the shirayim of the other two. But it sounds like in and of itself, you can. Ha'ikadanku the koimitz le'kariv l'chura, to the extent that you're not sure if which one of the other parts of the mincha is being matter, that means we don't know for sure what this koimitz is being matter. Once this koimitz is not being matter the entire mincha, so it's like a mincha chaseira on some level, you shouldn't even be able to eat its own shirayim. The Gemara is being medayik. Rapapa thought in Abaya that from its own shirayim you could eat. It's the rest of the shirayim that you're not allowed to eat. Either way, Frank Zokta Gemara, Maskel Rav Yitzchak Breda Rav Mishar, she asked a similar question. The koimitz gufa hechi karev. How can you even be makriv the koimitz? Again, if you don't know exactly what this mincha is, you're looking at all three as part of this mincha,
and there's some confusion as far as the mincha goes, then not only shouldn't you be able to eat the shirayim, I have a problem even before that. You shouldn't even be able to be makta the koimis. Gemara says, either way, Rav Ashi said, koimis bedaita the koin talia mil, says, it relates to this shayla, where there was the koimis avud and the koimis that they were mafresh afterwards, and you're not sure what's what. It really all depends on the mind of the koin. The koin can come into aisarin, can come into, as long as he knows in his head that there's only supposed to be an aisarin, so you never have to worry about the fact that there's a third half that you're not sure what is. As a result, it's not going to be a kmitza chseir, not on the koimitz level, not on the akhtara level, and as a result, you'll be able to eat exhale. So before we're not going to go weiter, we finish the daf, a few haris. So we'll start with a lamda shara, and we'll go from there. So yesterday's daf, and really Shabbos and Sunday's daf chav beis and daf chav gimel, the mesachtes menachis, is halachos of taruvos in the context of menachis. And the Gemara brought a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, a machlekes that's mentioned throughout Shas, most notably when you learn the sugits of taruvos, but really the makar of the machlekes is kachim, and that is mim b'minoi, bottle, or mim b'minoi lay bottle. Yehuda has a famous sheet in Shas that mim b'minoi is lay bottle. Incidentally, the Chachamim that hold mim b'minoi bottle in halacha, this is taruvos 101, a taruvos of mim b'minoi is actually more kuladig than a taruvos of mim b'she'inoi minoi. And the reason is because a taruvos of mim b'she'inoi minoi, even when you have a roiv and a miut, the miut is usually, with up to a certain proportion, noising tam into the roiv. As a result, you have a tam ke'ikr, and according to many Rishonim, tam ke'ikr de'raisa. When you have a taruva is a mim b'minoi, the miut is usually not noising tam into the roiv. As a result, you never have a tam ke'ikr de'raisa. That's why in halacha, the mechaber paskins tam ke'ikr de'raisa by mim b'she'ein e'minoi, tam ke'ikr de'rabona by mim b'minoi. It's like if you have a sofik shishim when it comes to a taruva is of mim b'she'ein e'minoi, sofik de'raisa l'chumra. If you have a sofik shishim by a taruvah is a mimbamino, it's a suffix drabana lakula. So really, but either way, that's the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds mimbamino is loy bottle at all. It's more chomer than mimbashene mune. It's loy bottle, the Chachamim hold mimbamino is bottle. The Gemara said, v'shneyem mikra echadarshu, that Rabbi Yehuda got his shita from a pasuk, it's the pasuk that discusses the avodah and Yom Kippur. The pasuk says the Kohen Gadol should take from the dam apar and the dam asar. He should mix them together. And the question is, the dam apar and the dam asar, to the extent that they're mixed, we know that the dam apar is much more than the dam asar. So the dam asar is bottled to the dam apar. So how are you even referring to it as the dam asar? So Rabbi Yehuda said, you see from here, mim b'minoi loy bottle, must be because it's dam and dam. Dam is not mevatel dam. That's Rabbi Yehuda's makar to kol atayra kula mim b'minoi loy bottle. What do the rabbanon hold? The rabbanon say it's true. I mask him to the dick. Something you need to extract from this pasuk. We have to walk away with a big time yisoid in Hilchas Taruvos. But the yisoid is not mim b'minoi loy batel. The yisoid is that oilim einon mevatlin zuazu. The yisoid is that two things that have the same din, they both have a din to go on the mizbech, they can't be mevatel each other. And being that the dam apar and the dam asar are both oilim, it's for that reason that there's not going to be any bittul. The ran in the Sechtes Nedarim, Daf Nun Deis Amar Aleph, and this ran is Reiv HaKamus and it's Reiv HaIchus. So it's a big ran, both quantitatively and qualitatively. It literally takes up the entire Amid. It's a very, very, very large ran. And the ran over there is discussing primarily the halacha of a Dover Sheyeshloi Matirim, which we'll talk more about in a minute. The halacha is afilu b'alafloi batal. But in the context of that ran that's discussing Dover Sheyeshloi Matirim, the ran brings this machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the ran says, what's the beer in the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? V'shneyem mikro echa darshu. V'lochach midam apar midam asar. Rabbi Yehuda saw it one way, and the Rabbanan saw it the other way. In fact, the Gemara said on Daf Chabez and Alf, Shabbos is Daf, we didn't learn it together. The Gemara says, why did Rabbi Yehuda see it the Rabbanan's way? And the Gemara said, Kasha. And why did the Rabbanan see it Rabbi Yehuda's way? And the Gemara said, Kasha. The Gemara left us hanging. Right? It was very unclear. Like, why Rabbi Yehuda saw it his way? He took out Mim B'minoi Loi Batel, and the Rabbanan took out Oyu Amein Mevat Mezuazu. What's going on over here? What's the rest of the story? Says the Ran, the Bir Madvarim is as follows. In order to have a taruvos, in order to say that a roiv could be mevatel and miut, you need that the roiv and the miut should be different. Two things that are different, that come together, force us to make a decision. We have to decide. How do we look at this taruvos? Do I look at it as the roiv, or do I look at it as the miut? Do I look at it as A, or do I look at it as B? But it's all because of the fact that the two things are different that forces us to now decide. Otherwise, let everybody live happily together. You can't do that because of the fact that they're misnagdoi zuazu. It's precisely because of the fact that they're so different that forces us to make a decision and forces us to go down the road of what we know is achri rabbi mahatis of bittul b'roiv. Two things that are similar, to the contrary, says Duran. There's no reason for us to make a decision. If two things that are alike come together, why do we have to say bittul? Why do we have to create this new mitzias known as taruvas, where we have to say one is going to now be bittul to the other? Let them live happily together. There's no reason in the world not to be able to say that. And that, says the Ran, is taruvas 101. That the whole yisoid of taruvas is because you have two dvarim, ha-misnagdoi zu-azu, that are coming together, and that's what forces us to now... Says the Ran, Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanim both thought that from v'lokach midam apar midam asar, the reason there's no bittul over there is probably because the dam apar and the dam asar are not so different. And being that they're not so different, you're not forced to decide between one or the other. To the contrary, they're mechazak each other, so to speak, and therefore there's no reason to say bittul. The question is, what's the determining? What's so similar to them? Rav Yehuda said they're both blood. They're both physically the same. The Chachamim said they're both oilim. They both have the same malacha. They both go on the Mizbeach. Meaning, Rav Yehuda felt that when you look at a taruvos, what matters is the metzias of the two things. So the more alike the things are physically, the less you have a right to say that there's a stira over here, thus there's going to be halacha bittul. The Chachamim said, I don't look at the way they are physically. That doesn't interest me. What interests me is halachically. The more they're alike halachically, that's what says there's no svara necessarily to say bittul. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you know what's unique about dam apar, dam asar? They're both dam. Thus, mimimini le bittul. Chachamim said, I don't care, physical, that's what matters. This is physical. This is not physical. We're not learning science. We're learning halacha. So in halacha, these are sugis and shas. Sugis and shas, we look at the halachic status. We look at the spiritual essence of these two things, not the physical essence of it. And as a result, being spiritually, they're both oilin, that's what makes them similar. Says the Ran, that the yisoid of Rabbi Yehuda is, Rabbi Yehuda ozel achar dimyoin ha'etzem. Rabbi Yehuda goes based on the Metzias, whereas the Rabbanon ha'och achar dimyoin ha'heter. They go basa dimyoin ha'heter. And that's essentially what it boils down to. But it's all predicated on this Metzias, that the only time you have halacha bittul is when you have two things that are different. They come, that's when you have bittul. And nobody argues with that. So that premise, shnei amikra echad arshu, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon agree with. There is absolutely no machloikis. What is the machloikis? Do you look at dimyoin ha'etzem? Or do you look at dimyon ha'heter? That's the question. Rabbi Yehuda was halach basa dimyon ha'etzem. The Rabbanu was halach achim dimyon ha'heter. But when it comes to two things that are mim v'minoy, there the Ran says l'shoynes to the contrary. Then you don't have to worry about it. It's hard to find the Ran here. But says the Ran, there each one is mechazik each other, and as a result, you're not going to have the halacha of bittul. Now, that's a beautiful Ran. Here, Nidarm Daf Mbez of an Aleph. But in light of yesterday's Daf, it's not so posh this Ran anymore. Because what we saw in yesterday's Daf, what was the whole Daf? Machloikis Rav Chilu, not going to chaz the whole daf. But what was the whole daf from the beginning? Take it from the daf. No, what was the daf? Machloikis Rav Chiz and Rav Chanina. And the machloikis was that even Rabbi Yehuda that holds mimba mina loy batel, it's not enough that they're physically the same. There's two boxes that need to be checked off. Number one, are they mimba mina? Dimnyan ha'etzen. But there was a second box. What was the second box that had to be checked off? You have to make sure that halachically you can bridge the two things. So nevela and shchuta could be bridged because nevela could become shchuta. Once it's not roi lachilas ger anymore, it doesn't have a din avela anymore. Or a mincha could become koy mitzvah shirayim. Because once you do mitzvah from the mincha, you'll have koy mitzvah, you'll have shirayim. So if the two things are A, dimyona etzem, and B, there's on some halachic level, even though right now they're different, but they can become, it's only then that Rabbi Yehuda said as halacha. If that's the case, this Ran is a very oversimplification of Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. It's not true Rabbi Yehuda only goes basa dimyon ha'etzem. Rabbi Yehuda takes the dimyon ha'heter into consideration as well. Now, two things. Number one, okay, it's not a problem. Number two, the Gemara, Rav Chiz, Rav Chanina, really was saying their halach in Rav Chia. It's before in the Gemara, they were saying Rav Chia who went b'shittas Rabbi Yehuda. So I don't know if it's muchach that it's true in Rabbi Yehuda. It could be it's true in Rav Chia, the maskonas ha'gemara, nafchav gimel amadeis. We have to go through the Gemara a little bit better, but it sounded like it was more in Rav Chia who went b'shittas Rabbi Yehuda than it was in Rabbi Yehuda as well. But either way, this is a very important Ran. But really, the punchline of the Ran and the part of the Ran that's quoted throughout Shas is the next part of the Ran. Says the Ran, with this Hanocha, which Hanocha? That the only time you say Taruvos is when you have a mixture of two things that are Misnagdos Zuazu. That forces us to decide between A or B. But two things that are the same, you don't have the Halacha of Bittul Biroif. Says the Ran, I could explain to you the idea of Dova Sheyesh Lematir. So we know that not every time two things come together in a Taruvos do you say Bittul Biroif. There are many exceptions to the rule. Dova Sheb Minyan, Chatich Shen Ruyu L'Schabit. One of the Halachas where you don't say bittul b'roiv is a davar sheyesh l'matirim. So anything that's usur now, but something can happen that will make it mutter at some point in the future, you don't say the halacha of bittul b'roiv. Now what's pashup shad in davar sheyesh l'matirim? Rashi b'sechtes be'ed, daf gimel amud be'ed, very good. Rashi says a lashon that ad she'teichlenu be'isur, you want to do the Matim as mutter, because why should we lie on Bittul B'Roiv? It's very nice to have a Bittul B'Roiv. But at the end of the day, you still have a Davar Aser in this Taruvah. So why should I rely on, if I don't have a choice, this is Davar Aser is always going to be Aser. So the only way for me to ever benefit from it is through Bittul. Okay, so now we're going to say Bittul B'Roiv. But being that it's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirim, that's something that can happen in the future. Like the sugis there of Mukta, which after Shabbos, after Yontif, will be mutter. So a Be'esh and all the Yontif. Why should I eat it now on Yontif? We'll eat it afterwards. The point is that something that will be mutter, there's no reason to rely on this bidiyeved known as bittul b'roiv. But the Ran says a different shot. Says the Ran, you want to know what the vart is? It's this you say. Because the only time you say bittul b'roiv is when two things are very, very different. Let's think in Shitas Chachamim. What does different mean? They have to be different in terms of iser v'heter. Because two oilim are not mevatel zuzu. Because they're too similar. Why is every taruvos made up of two things that are different? Because one is a davar aser, and the other one is a davar mutter. Says the Ran, if the davar aser is a davar sheyesh l'matirim, it's going to become mutter. It's not different enough than the davar mutter for me to say bittul. Different means aser always going to be aser, mutter always going to be mutter. But to the extent that it's a davar sheyesh l'matirim, and it's possible for the davar aser to switch teams at some point, it can now become mutter. We're not different enough. We need to be different in a very fundamental way, in a very meaningful way. So much so that it's aser and in my material, in order for us to have this hisnagdus, in order to be able to have the bittul b'roiv. Just end this lumdisha part of the daf with something interesting, and that is just one ha'ara on Rashi, one ha'ara on the Ran. As it relates to the Ran, let's work backwards. So the Ran says that davar sheyesh l'matirim, you don't have the halacha bittul b'roiv. Why not? Because the davar sheyesh l'matirim is going to be mutter, and when it's going to be mutter, it's going to be like the mevatel, and you need the two things to be different to the point that they're always going to be different in order to be able to say a bittul b'roiv. But really, it's all predicated on this Ran's yisoid, that there's a fundamental difference between the taruvos of mim b'mina, mim b'she'enoi mina. However you define mim b'mina, Rabbi Yehuda does it his way, the Chacham does it his way, because the taruvos needs to be two things that are misnagged each other. Otherwise, to the contrary, there's no taruvos. The two things are actually mechazik each other. So I saw a ha'ara, and if you think about it, it's a good ha'ara, that the Ran Svara makes much more sense in the taruvos of lach balach. But how do you understand the Ran Svara in the taruvos of yavish b'yavish? I mean, if I have a taruvos of lach balach, where two things are literally in the same mixture, you take the dam apar, the dam asar, you literally mix them together. The two menachos were literally nesarev together. So if the two things are different, so then you have to make a decision. What is it? If the two things are the same, they're mechazik each other, like the Ran says. But in taruvos yavish b'yavish, does it make sense to Ran Svara that in taruvos yavish b'yavish, you have two hamburgers, you're just not sure which one is which? So what, the two are mechazik each other? There's no stira. When you make one from two, so you have to decide, what's the one that I made? Were they mechazik each other? I just have more of it? Or no, now I have to make a decision. Is it A or is it B? But in a taruvos yavish b'yavish, L'chura, where does the Ran Svara play out? As it relates to Rashi Shita, Rashi says, Asha teichlenu be'isser, teichlenu be'heter. Why is it teichlenu be'isser? Rashi's assuming that if I have a taruvus right now of isser v'heter, so if I eat it now, I'm eating it be'isser. Why? I'm not eating it be'isser. Bittul b'roiv is isser? Anaya ma'isa? Well, why is that isser? Rashi's law. How do you understand Rashi's lashon? Asha teichlenu be'isser, teichlenu be'isser, wait until tomorrow, then it's going to be mutter. And today, it's Aser? No, it's not. It's not Aser. There's no Bal Nefesh Yachmer when it comes to eating a taruvah is a heter. What, you have to be from the Katchila and be Machmer? I thought it was Mutter. I mean, what, the whole taruvah is only, it's a Bedeyevit, really, eating a Dover Aser, but it's Nitcha somehow, the Iser? No, that's the Loch of Raif. So Raif tells me, that, okay, there's a Din Eim Mevatlin is still the Katchila. That's Pashtus, the Rabbanan, the Rajba brings a Raif in him, Sechtes Chulin, that the Shach actually brings, that maybe it's the Raisa, but that's a Das Yochid. Eim Mevatlin is still the Katchila, but what's the problem? L'chur, if I have a taruvos and there's a bit of a roiv, and roiv's a real din, roiv's the raisa, so what should be the issue? So I saw a ha'ara that maybe a good sushtel to this Ran, it's a little wild, but maybe a good sushtel to this Ran is the rush in the sugi of Tokfu Kayin. So you remember the sugi of Tokfu Kayin, the Gemara discusses kafats, echem, and aminuyim, so one of the animals that already went tachas hashivet kibakoras roya edroy mavritzayne tachas shivdai, and I would jump back into the herd with all the other animals. So halacha is everything gets knocked out. Why is it getting knocked out? Because once you count something, you can't use it for the minyan asiri anymore. Asiri vadi amar achman of leah asiri. So in Tosfos and the Rosh and the Sheet, everybody asks takasha. What do you mean? Let that one sheep that was min ha-menuyim be bottled to the other sheep that are not min ha-menuyim, and say bittul b'roiv. And the Rosh famously says that en chinami des halacha bittul b'roiv. But bittul b'roiv doesn't make vadai. And as a result, asiri vadai yom rachmano, v'loy asiri safik, and being that by ma'aser behemo, you need vadai, it's also a kachem diga halacha, you need vadai, and being that there's halacha vadai, roiv can't give me vadai. So you see that as much as roiv works in the context of taruvos, but you see it can't create asiri vadai. So to the degree that it's not vadai, that's where you have the tzad of avivai. Let's use yeshiva terminology. Avivai, it's not vadai. Oh, to Dart. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Over there, that's where. Yeah. It's over there. No, that's the tzad iser. The tzad iser is manifest where it's not vada. So you have a tzad. Either way, that is the first aura. The second aura is the Gemara began with Kisalik Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. He met the Bnei Rav Chiya. The Bnei Rav Chiya asked Rav Kahana three shailas in the Sechtes Menachis. Kahana knew the answer to all three. Then Rav Kahana asked Bnei Rav Chiya shailah Masechtes Menachis. The Bnei Rav Chiya didn't know the answer to Rav Kahana shailah. Regardless, so the Gemara just mentions fleetingly Kisalik Rav Kahana, where Rav Kahana came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael. The truth is that there is the rest of the story, and it's a Gemara Masechtes Bava Kama from all places. The very end of Masechtes Bava Kama, a very well known Gemara, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing the halachas of a Moiser. Those are sugis in the end of Masechtes Bava Kama. The laws of Moiser are mentioned in the end of Bava Kama. And the Gemara there tells a story. There was a person, a Yid, that wanted a maser on his friend. He came to Rav, and he asked Rav, is it okay for me to be a Moiser? Amalek, so Rav told him, no, it's not okay. Lo tachve, v'lo tachve. Don't do it. Amalek, so this Yid was a mechotzif, and he told Rav, machvino, machvino. No. Lo tachve, lo tachve. Machvino mafkina, I'm going to show the government where this person is hiding his heaven. I'm going to be a moist. Yes, Rav Kahana made the Rav. Rav had a Talmud whose name was Kahan. Rav Kahana was sitting next to Rav, and he saw the way this person spoke to his Rebbe Rav. Shamte l'koye mine. He killed him, in short. Kari Ravi Lavei. So Rav quoted a pasuk in Yeshaya. Bottom line is he told Rav Kahana, you were right for killing him. Because a moiser can lead to shvichas damim, and he was putting this Yid's life at risk. Thus, he had a din of a roidev. You had absolutely every right to kill him. Stating that, Rav told Rav Kahana that as much as you had a right to do what you did, but at the same time, once word gets out that you killed somebody, your life is going to be at risk. And as a result, I highly recommend that you pack your bags, you go to exile, you leave Bavel. You have to go somewhere. So he said, where should I go? He told him, kun sak lari di Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael. But when you're in Eretz Yisrael, kabel aloch, the loy takshila Rabbi Yechanan Shveshnen. You should go to Rabbi Yechanan's yeshiva, and you should learn Torah from Rabbi Yechanan, but be mekabel on yourself that you're not going to ask Rabbi Yechanan any questions in learning. So you're going to listen to Rabbi Yechanan share, and you're going to have an oriz that you're going to want to shtel to, but at the same time, control yourself, don't do it. Now, why did he have to do that? So clearly, he needed some sort of kapara. Pashup Shad, he needed kapara for killing this moiser, as much as he had a right to do it, but on some level, he needed kapara. The Marsha says, the reason he had needed kapara is because he was a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi. And a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi is chayv misavdei shemayim, shmul, eili, chana. So he needed kapara for being moir alacha. He jumped the gun. Really, it was Rav's job to kill this person if he wanted to. Not Rav Kahana's job. Says the Marsha, he was a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi for jumping the gun. Pun intended, and as a result, he needed kapara. His kapara was, don't talk in learning. Ben Yoyada says that, how's that a kapara? I mean, if he needs kapara for shvichas domim, certainly according to the first pshat, how does this match? He says, because for a Talmud Chacham who's listening to a shir and he has something that he wants to say and he can't talk, it's kemisa chashuva. Either way, says the Gemara. Also, so Rav Kahana goes up there to Israel. He goes straight to Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. And when he shows up, he's in the chatzah there and he sees that Rish Lakish was saying over shir, the ka yasiv, the kamasayim, the sifted the yam of the rabban, he was saying over Rabbi Yochanan's shir to the Talmud. Amalahu. So Rav Kahana knew of Rabbi Yochanan's famous Talmud Rish Lakish. So he asked one of the Talmudim, says, tell me, where could I find Rish Lakish? So he points, you see that Yid who's saying over Shir? That's Rish Lakish. So he goes over to Rish Lakish and he says, can I listen in? He says, of course. So Rish Lakish is saying over Rabbi Yochanan Shir, and everything Rish Lakish said, Rabbi Kahana went
Amalu, hai kushiv, hai kushiv, hai peruka, hai peruka. Rish Lakish was there. He never met such a London. He was there. He couldn't believe it. Amalu, the Rish Lakish. So, Aza, Rish Lakish, Amalu, Rech. So, next day, Rish Lakish goes to Rabbi Yochanan. And he said, well, you know, so somebody came from some distant land. He just showed up. And he's not shayach in learning. He said, Ari, Ola, mi bavel. La, I am marbe, mi sif, tulam achar. Make sure if he comes to Shia tomorrow, you give him COVID, sit him oivenun, give him mizrach, make sure that he gets the respect that he deserves. So next day, Rav Kahana shows up to Rav Yechon's yeshiva. They put him literally mizrach. He's sitting next to Rav Yechon. And Rav Yechon prepares shiur, and he keeps on looking at Rav Kahana. He wants the era ara. But Rav Kahana had already taken an oath. He had told Rav that he would sit in Rav Yechon's shiur, and he wouldn't ask any kashas. He was able to talk to Rish Lakish and learning, but not to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Oma Shmaitz Rabbi Yochanan said Allah of Lo Yakshi." Kind of didn't say anything. Shmaitz, he said another Allah of Lo Yakshi. Didn't ask him anything. Anchas Acheri Shevadari. He said over seven halachas. Each halacha, he looked at Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had nothing to say, ostensibly, and as a result, Rav Kahana had to move back another row. Ado Isu B'dar Basu. There were seven rows in Rabbi Yechon's yeshiva, and he was now sitting on the seventh row. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon turns to Rish Lakish and he tells him, Arisha Omarta, that Ari that you said was Olim Mibavel, Nasir Shul. It's not an Ari, he's a Shul, Omar. So Rav Kahana hears all this, and he was embarrassed. He turns to Hashem and he says a tefillah, Yehei Ravo, Dahani Shve Dori, that the seven rows that I had to go back, the busha that I had to endure, when Rabbi Yechon publicly made me go back a row and a row and a row. Should be chilush vashen in damali rab. It should be a tmura, the 7 years of exile that I need to be. So the Gemara says Rav Kahana must have felt that his tefillah was answered. So the Gemara says, I don't know how he knew his tefillah was answered, but he must have felt that. Come akare, so Rav Kahana got up and he goes up to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Rebbe, can you please repeat shir? So the Gemara says, Nahadar mar bereisha, fangim fanum fang, amar shmaitza. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Allah of Akshi, and Rav Kahana started ripping it apart. Ukum vidar kami moved him up a row. Amar shmaitza, Akshi, and he kept on till finally he was in. Rabbi Yochanan was so impressed. He was mesmerized. The Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan got up. But Rabbi Yochanan had very long eyelashes. He couldn't see. So he asked his gaboyim, can you please, I want to be able to see this yet. So the Gemara says, Dolu einev echse. Rabbi Yochanan looks at Rav Kahana, and apparently Rav Kahana had once had a wound on his lip. And as well, if you looked at Rav Kahana, it always looked like he was smiling. And Rabbi Yochanan, when he saw Rav Kahana, thought that Rav Kahana was smiling at him. And he thought he was mocking him. Like, you're the great Rabbi Yochanan? I just came to your shir, and I was able to frag up everything in your shir. The Gemara says, Cholesh daiti, Rabbi Yochanan, Chalish Zadas, V'noch Nafshe. And the great Rabbi Yochanan passed away. Lamachar, the next day, Rav Kahana passed away. Lamachar, Amul Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanon, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbanon, Chazisu l'bavlo, Hechi Ovid, he went and he told everybody, you see, what goes on? This big landing comes from Bavel, and he made Chazik from me. So he said, what are you talking about? He said, I saw him, and he was smiling. He says, no, Darkei Hachi, that's the way he looks. He's always smiling. That's his disposition. That's who he is. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan realized what had happened. And Rabbi Yochanan's Chalisha Sadas had caused Rav Kahana to die, and it was all a mistake. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan went to the Ma'ara of Rav Kahana. He saw there was a Nachash by his cave. Bottom line is, the Gemara says he ends up being Machaya Mason, Rabbi Yochanan does. Rav Kahana comes back to life. And then he says, maybe you want to come back to my share. Rav Kahana said, maybe it's not such a good idea. But the bottom line is, that is pretty much the rest of the story as it relates to exactly. That come Rabbi Shachtelev. That's the story over here with Rav Kahana, Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a Gemara where the Gemara says Kisolik Rav Kahana. This is the rest of the story. Rav Kahana came Ari Olam Mibavel, Shul Olam Mibavel, the Maisu with Rabbi Yochanan Rav Kahana. So just to digress from our digression for one moment, it's just one Ha'ara. So it's a fascinating Gemara. Well, we learned Masechtas Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yedzai. We spoke at Raid on this, but Ein Beis Medrash B'Loi Chiddush. I'll tell you a Dover Chodosh that I saw, and that is in the Sefer Yad Malachi. So the Yad Malachi, like the Chavis Yor, right? There's different Svarim where they have Klolim in Shas when it comes to Pesach. So we like going through some of these Klolim. And the Yad Malachi, it's in Klal Resh. It's Ois, I have it printed out, but it's Ois Tof Kuf Nun Zayin, I believe, 557. And he's discussing over there the idea, which is really a Mefurish Gemara, a Gemara in the Masechtas Hayris, where the Gemara discusses Sinai Va'oikir Harim. Which one is Adif? The Sinai is the person that's considered the big Baki. The Oikir Harim is the great Salamdin. Sinai va'Oikir Harim, Ezem Ehem Koyim. And the Gemara says, that Pligiba, Rab Shimon, Rabba Chadam Asina Yodav Chadam Eikarim Hadav. Rab Yosef the Gemara says was a Sinai. Rabba the Gemara says was an Eikar Harim. Shochul the Taman Ezemehem Kaidim. Shochulu they said Sinai Yodav. That the Sinai is other than the Eikar Harim. Taisvus and Masechtas Erevin. Daf Memam Ralef says whenever there's Machloikas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda, the Halach is like Rav Sheshes, not like Rav Chizda. Why? Because the Gemara says also Masechtas Erevin that Rav Sheshes was a major Baki and Rav Chizda was a major Lamdan, and that's why Kipagabu Rav Sheshes Rav Chizda. So Rav Sheshes was always afraid to talk to Rav Chizda and learning because he knew he was going to say some super duper lamdas. Rav Chizda was always afraid to talk to Rav Sheshes and learning because he was going to have a Yerushalmi somewhere that to frag him up. So Rav Chizda and Rav Sheshes, they're always afraid to talk to each other and learning. Rav Sheshes was the Baki, Rav Chizda was the Lamdan. So Tais over there is discussing the Gemara Masechtas Erevin, and Tais is not sure what the Halach is. So Tais says, I'll tell you, in the Gemara there's no Raya who the Halach is like. But I know from Shas that Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chizda was an Eikaharim, and I know the Gemara, and the Vahiris, Tafiyadalim and Aleph, that Sinai for Eikaharim. Sinai Adif. So as a result, the Halacha is going to be like Rav Sheshes. The Halacha is not going to be like Rav Chizda. So that's the theme. That's the backdrop of what the Yad Malachi is discussing. And he brings other examples of this. That the Halacha was always like the Baki, and the Halacha was not like the Lamdin. Meaning, the grace of Lamdin, as much as he can make the most noise in Beis Medrash, but when it comes to Halacha L'maisa Tachlis, the Messiah in Klal Yisrael never followed the biggest Lamdan. It followed more the Sinai than it followed the Eikar Harim. One of the rayas he brings is from Rav Meir. The Gemara says in Masechtis Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Dal Ramad Aleph, that Kol Aroya Rav Meir BeBeis Medrash, Ki'ilu Eikar, not Harim, Hurry Harim. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. But he wasn't just an Eikar Harim. He was an Eikar Hurry Harim. Yeah, exactly. He wasn't just a Lamdan. Super Lamdan, right? That's probably what it means. Ki'ilu Eikar Hurry Harim. That was Rav Meir. Stating that, everyone knows a Gemara Masechtis Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Maro Deh is talking about Rav Meir. Rav Meir, Rav Nuroi, Shemeir, Eini Chachamim Bahalacha, right? All the different beautiful agadas the Gemara about Rav Meir. And at the end of the day, the Gemara says the Halacha is not like Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Acha Bar Chanina, Galui V'Yadul of Neim Yisham Avahoya Oila, She'ein B'Doyre Shal Rab Meir K'moisai. There was no one in the entire door like Rab Meir. So why wasn't Halacha like Rav Meir? You know what? Because he was too big of a Lamdan. It's precisely because he was an Eikar Hari Harim. Amazing. That's why the Halacha is not like him. Rav Meir could have came and he could have told you why a Dover Tamei is Tahar and why a Dover Tahar is Tamei. Dimar says there's a story with Sumchis who was Talmidei Shor Rav Meir, Kiyadua, right? Sumchis is buried next to Rav Meir in Tver. Right? So he also had the same Kayach, but Rav Meir was an Eikar Hari Harim. And fakir, that's goofy. Why read the Gemara? Mipnei Malay Kavu Halacha Kamay. If he was the biggest Lamdan in the door, why don't we follow Rav Meir? It's because he was too much of a Lamdan. So Yachlu Chaverov Lamid Asoif Taite. His Talmidim couldn't understand it. He quotes the Gemara Masechtas Sheshes, where the Gemara says Rish Lakish was also a phenomenal Eikar Harim. But the Halacha is never like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is also an Eikar Harim, and the Halacha never follows him. Who does the Halacha follow? It follows Rabbi Yechanan. The Bar Miklas, the Gemara in the beginning, Perak Achaylets by Chalitas Mubaris, but the Halacha doesn't follow Rish Lakish. Why? Because he was an Eikar Hari Harim, and the Halacha doesn't follow. The obvious Sushtel that he doesn't be a Shami Beisil. Beshami Beisil, that's the Gemara in the end of the first Perak of Masechtas Yevamos, where the Gemara tells the story with the Talmidim of Beisil. They went to talk and learning to Daisib and Horkinus, who was from the Talmidim of Beishami, and they were discussing the first mission of Masechtas Yevamos. Chamnesh Esrin Nashim Poichus Tsarasem, Besaras Tsarasem, and Chalitz Ben Alyum, also known as Tsaras Erva. And they were discussing that Halacha, and the Gemara says that Daisa ben Horkinus, he wiped the floors with the Talmid of Beis Hillel. He proved them this way and that way. He was mevayish them. At the end, he said, he told Rabbi Akiva, you're the Akiva, you're the Rabbi Akiva, you're Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And he was mocking them. And it's mevur in that Gemara that really the Talmidim of Beis Shammai were much more charif than the Talmidim of Beis Hillel. So why is the Halacha like this? Because the Halacha doesn't follow Eikar Harim. It's very nice that big alamdanim, they could ask all the great kashas in the world. But at the end of the day, there's a certain Mesaira, and the Mesaira followed more the Sinai than it did the Eikar Harim. Fascinating idea. And in this Gemara in Erevin, it's Mavur Aknech, that it's precisely because they were such Eikar Harim. In fact, Rabbi Chanan says that the reason the Halacha is like Bissol of Bishamai is because of Lo Yachlu Chavei Rolam and Asayv Daiti, like the Gemara says in Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And he says, that's why Lassa Lavai, when Mashiach is going to come, the Halacha is going to be like Bishamai. Because then it's going to be Umal Aritz Day, and we will be able to be Oymed Asayv Daiti, Shel. We will be able to be Oymed Asayv Daiti, Shel. That's why the Halacha is going to be like Bishamai. Says the Yad Malachi, Teich Dvarav. He says, I'll bring you another Raya, and this is beautiful. He says that there's a Gemara Masechtas Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yezayin Amad Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Kahana met Rav Yechanan. And they started talking and learning. And Rav Yechanan was giving shir, and Rav Kahana was asking kashas to the point that
Rav Yechanan Chalish Sadas. It's an amazing story. Ari Alami Bavel. Rav Kahana seemed to have been a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan. Now, Rav Kahana was a Talmud of who? Rav. That's how the Gemara started. If Rav Kahana was a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan, says the Yad Malachi, says it b'shem the Chavis Yar. I couldn't find it inside in the Chavis Yar. He brings the Chavis Yar, Daft Tzadik Gimel. I think he means the Chavis Yar, Simon Tzadik Dal. That's the Chavis Yar that we always speak out. We go through all the Kol Yashas. It's very, very long. It's probably there somewhere. I just personally couldn't find it. But anyway, so he says that if Rav Kahana was a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan, then Rav Kahana's Rabbi was certainly a bigger lamdan. Yeah, Rav Yechanan, Allah is always like Rav Yechanan. Where's that Gemara? Also, Beya Daft Gimel. But anyways, we're coming full circle. So the halacha is always like Rav Yochanan over like the halacha is always like Rav Kahana. The halacha is like Rav Yochanan over Rav. What's going on over here? Even Rav's Talmud, Rav Kahana is a bigger lamb than Rav Yochanan. You know what the teretz is? The halacha doesn't follow the Ikeharim. And being the halacha doesn't follow the Ikeharim, that's why just another thing. Hafeichba vafeichba the kuluban nakamara bavakamukuf yedzayin, which somehow relates to Menachis Tavchav Dalit.